This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by First Day Back. And First Day Back is a podcast about people coming back to whatever it is they do after probably the worst experience of their lives. I've done stand-up comedy, and, you know, my biggest fear in doing stand-up was dying on stage in the sense of having a really shitty time. The star of the new season 3 of First Day Back literally died on stage. His heart stopped for 5 minutes during his set, and the season is all about what happened next. You can also binge season 2 right now. It's about a woman who comes back from prison, but her husband is not back at the home to greet her because she was in prison for shooting him. So check out First Day Back in your podcast app, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And this week we are talking about mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Mayo.
Matthew, I have to say, I know that we planned this episode a while ago, and I know that you're probably not really excited about it because you are condiment phobic.
Well, it depends what you mean by excited. Like, you know... You know that experiment where, like they found, like, in a variety of experiments that you know, people interpret, like, the sensations of arousal in different ways depending on the context and, like, what they've been told by the experimenter?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I feel very excited in a bad way.
Okay.
Is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
It's not that I feel, like, you know, lackadaisical about this. I feel very engaged and fearful.
I feel very lackadaisical about this. I just really, I just would prefer to maybe not be eating straight mayonnaise today.
I'm going to taste the homemade. We're going to whip up some homemade mayo, and I'm going to taste that. I'm not going to taste the mayo directly out of the jar.
You're not?
No.
Oh, I totally will.
Okay.
It's fine. I'll do it for us. But the thing is
thanks.
Like, okay, can I be honest and say that mayonnaise is one of those things that, like, I love knowing how to make it. And I will gladly make it if someone asks me to. Yet there's something about taste. You have to taste it to make sure that it's seasoned properly. And usually by the time I'm done making it, even if I've used a recipe, you know, even a recipe needs a little bit of, like, you know, adjusting of the salt and whatever. I always feel vaguely ill after finishing making a batch of mayonnaise.
Can I be your taster? I don't know if you can trust my palate.
Please, that would, because I love making mayonnaise, but I hate the repeated tasting of it.
No, I'm excited about the homemade mayonnaise.
Okay.
Excited in a good way.
Okay. Hey, so listener, this is our mayonnaise episode.
Oh, it was suggested by listener Kim. Thank you for listener Kim. That's all I want for Christmas.
Too bad Christmas is already over.
Do you think listener Kim is little Kim?
Probably not. Matthew, tell me about your memory lane of mayonnaise.
I've always hated and feared it. Actually, no, I have a very strong memory mayonnaise lane.
What? What just happened? Did you start short-circuiting?
Yes. Do not disassemble number five. Wow, we watched that movie like last year and like
Short Circuit?
Yeah, like it's, some things about it are really terrible, is but also some things are really funny.
Who was the actor in that? Fisher
Stevens.
Yes, he recently showed up in a show that Ash and I watched called The Night Of.
Oh, was he hired or did he just show up?
He just showed up. He worked as a pharmacist and anyway, I was like, that guy.
He worked as a pharmacist.
On the show.
Okay, he played a pharmacist?
And he was a job.
He's like, you know, they were like, you know, your acting career didn't really work out, but do you want to be the on-set pharmacist? We have an opening.
Anyway.
Can keep the stars supplied with their Xanaxes. Yeah. Yes. Well, he was doing like brown face in the movie, and it's really problematic.
Oh my God, he was?
Yeah, he played an Indian guy, which he is not.
Oh, that's horrible.
But the robot is cute.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Okay, so I guess we can't recommend that movie.
This brings us back to, did you read that article in the Paris Review? I think it was by Claire Dieterer, maybe?
I did, yes.
About what to do with the art of monstrous men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do we do about... I mean, that was a different thing.
Yeah.
But still, like art that that by today's standards is offensive or insensitive or...
Yeah, I don't think I can recommend that movie, and yet I'm still going to quote from it. So
yeah.
I've got no legs to stand on.
Okay.
Okay, so mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Oh, my memory lane. That's where we were going. So around the same time that I was enjoying the movie Short Circuit in the theater, which I believe I saw in a double feature with Space Camp.
Carry on.
Did you see Space Camp?
No.
Leah Thompson went to space?
Uh-uh.
I mean, she played a character who went to space.
Leah Thompson was like very, like such a girl next door kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Beauty.
Yeah, I mean she was Lorraine McFly.
Oh my God, that's right. Okay.
I almost pulled her maiden name from Back to the Future. Baines, I think.
How did you remember that?
I think it's close, but it might not be correct.
Okay.
I don't know.
Lorraine Baines?
I think so.
Really? Okay.
I think maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw Back to the Future on my 10th birthday, like with my friends for my 10th birthday.
That's exciting.
In 1985.
What a day.
So my memory lane, I've been skirting around this because like it's actually a painful memory. My mom told me that she thought I might like tuna salad, and she first gave me some plain canned tuna to taste, and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And she's like, now try this, and gave me a bite of tuna salad, and it's like the most visceral disgust that I've ever felt in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It was like, it is horrifying to remember. And I realized
Were you able to swallow?
I'm not saying like this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Just like in terms of like pure physical disgust. No, okay. I spit it out.
Okay. Wow. That's fascinating.
So that's my memory lane.
Okay. I've eaten a lot of mayonnaise in my day. Mm-hmm. My mom, when I was a kid, used to do something that's going to kill Matthew right now. she would buy Oscar Mayer beef bologna. I loved it. And then she would like lay a slice down on the countertop and she would spread mayonnaise on it and then roll it up into like a little cigar shape.
I remember this from the bologna episode, yeah, Cold Cuts.
This was called a bologna roll up.
Of course.
I also had tuna salad frequently as a child. We had these little orange Tupperwares that I think were actually made by Tupperware.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mom probably got them at a Tupperware party.
Oh, yeah.
These little orange Tupperwares that were like the perfect size to go in your kid's lunch. And I remember my mom, packing me tuna salad with celery for lunch.
Sure.
In those little containers. I remember having a bologna sandwich with mayonnaise. Yeah, there's just always been a lot of mayonnaise around. And my mom was a big...
There has always been a lot of mayonnaise around.
My mom was a big Hellman's fan. For those who live, is it West west of the Rockies, it's Best Foods.
Oh, is it west? It's not the Mississippi, it's the Rockies. That would make sense.
Yeah, I think it's the Rockies. Those who live west of the Rockies get Best Foods. The rest of the country gets Hellman's.
If you carry a jar of it across, over the Rockies,
the label changes.
Like in Back to the Future, how the photo is changing.
Oh, I forgot about that. Wow. Have you watched it recently or something?
No.
Okay, great. Anyway, so yeah, I grew up eating a lot of Hellman's mayonnaise, and it never occurred to me that it was gross.
Well, I mean, that's because it's not. It's that I have a weird hang up.
But I think a lot of people have a mayonnaise hang up.
Sure, it's an unusual texture.
Well, and when you start thinking about what it is, which we'll talk about more in a second, it just seems revolting.
It kind of like shouldn't be that way.
Well, I feel like it walks this line between pure magic and revulsion.
Yes. You know why I keep talking about Back to the Future? I went to see a friend's band, and the band is called 88 Miles Per Hour.
Is that how fast you had to go?
To go back
seems
in time.
Slow. Yeah.
I mean, what does this say about your driving?
No, but I just feel like, you know, you think about like,
no, that's true.
Like, it seems like it could be very easy then when you're just driving on the highway, if you're driving in the DeLorean.
Okay, but you still have to have a time machine. Like, it's not that just any car. You have to have the flux capacitor installed.
Is that? Oh,
and
okay.
And it has to be powered by plutonium or lightning. Spoiler alert. Okay. So, yeah, see how hard I'm working to not talk about mayonnaise?
Okay. Can I throw down some science?
Please.
And I would like you to help me out with this because
I am excited for mayo science.
Okay. So, mayo is it's a stable emulsion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Can you just define emulsion briefly? It's like where you take two things that would or like two things and bring them into a stable union. Like a marriage.
that's marriage. The emulsion is when you take two substances that should not dissolve in each other because one is polar and one is nonpolar, and you introduce a third substance that causes them to stably mix.
Ah, this is like marriage. It's like an open marriage.
It's like a throuple.
A throuple?
Right.
What's a throuple?
It's a three-person couple.
Oh, is that a thing?
The word is yes, it's a thing.
Okay. I mean, separate from a threesome, which would just imply like an encounter.
Right.
Okay. Great. So, anyway.
It doesn't really scale up, I don't think, because if you add one more, is that like a fupple?
Quapple?
This is where I'm going to get in trouble, like talking about a thing that
you don't
we don't
know
anything about.
Okay. Mayo is a stable emulsion made from oil, egg yolk, and acid, so usually lemon juice or vinegar. Of course, then there are variations that have other flavorings like herbs, garlic, anchovies, and then, of course, salt, right?
Yes.
But basically, here's the deal. So you've got your yolk, right? And in the yolk are proteins and lecithin.
Okay.
And lecithin is a fatty substance that that attracts both water and fats.
Yes, it's
amphiphilic.
That sounds right.
It's amphiphilic, meaning that it's both hydrophilic and lipophilic.
Yes. What is amphoteric is something. What's that?
I don't remember.
That's the word that came to mind, but I think it's something else.
But I kind of think of it as like a, I don't know, like a key that has two ends.
It's like a key that has two ends.
And so it hooks onto one thing and it hooks onto the other, and then it links them together.
Right. Sort of. But I mean, but the way it works is by like forming, it takes the fatty thing, the oily thing, and like allows the little bubbles that it breaks up into, it keeps them from joining back together into big bubbles.
Is it because it surrounds them with molecules of something else?
Yes, exactly. So a mayonnaise is full of little teeny tiny bubbles of oil that are coated with lecithin.
Okay. Because I remember in like AP Bio, I remember learning about things being like hydrophilic or lipophilic or whatever. And I remember making little drawings of, is it fat molecules that are like round with a tail?
Yes.
And those surrounding like a bubble of water or something? Or
micelles? Are we talking about micelles?
Maybe. I loved this part of biology. It's a shame I don't remember it better. Okay. Anyway, so lecithin, which I see on tons of food labels.
Because it's a very powerful emulsifier.
And it's naturally occurring both in the plant world and in the animal world.
Okay.
So I'm sure that it's isolated from all kinds of things.
Yeah, I don't know how industrial lecithin is made.
But anyway, basically, when you bisque.
you make a bisque, and then you float a toast with a roux on top.
No.
That's something you, I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you're talking about bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse, thank you.
You take an egg yolk and you whisk it, okay?
It's so some French thing starting with B. It's a baguette, okay?
You kind of break it up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so...
And then you break it down.
Matthew, stop it. You take egg yolk and you beat it, and then you start slowly adding oil, okay? And you're whisking all the while. So basically, you are, as you're adding this oil, you're separating it with the whisk into these tiny little droplets and then coating it with the egg yolk.
Right.
And I think that an egg yolk can emulsify up to, is it 3/4 or 1 cup of oil?
It's much more than that.
Really?
I'm so glad you mentioned this.
That's because, so incredible that you can stretch that lecithin. Right.
So Harold McGee of On Food and Cooking fame wrote a column about mayo and like how much emulsifying power one yolk has. Mm-hmm. It was outrageous.
Was it something like 12? You could make 12 quarts of mayonnaise or something?
It was something like that, yes.
But how do you do that? Because most of us home cooks, you can't do that.
You don't want to do that. Like, partly, like, the yolk, aside from the emulsifying power, like, the flavor and texture of the yolk is part of what you're looking for, and you don't necessarily want to stretch it that thin. But if you had to, if it was, like, mayonnaise Hanukkah...
you mean if there was an abundance of oil?
If there's an abundance of oil. No, that's the opposite of Hanukkah.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
No, you had to make a little bit of oil.
Was egg Hanukkah? I don't know.
Anyway, but I think this is so cool. So you can think about, I mean, that the reason why you would want to add oil so slowly in the beginning is you've got to like get that emulsion started, right? Mm-hmm. Because is there some way in which the emulsion kind of builds on itself or it becomes easier to... No?
I mean, it definitely seems that way. I don't know what the chemistry of that is, but it certainly seems like that's how it works.
Well, anyway, this oil and this egg sort of form the base of the emulsion. So here, what's what Wikipedia says? The oil and the water in the yolk form a base of the emulsion.
So the base of the emulsion, I think they're referring to the things that wouldn't mix without the emulsifier, the things you're trying to get to mix.
And then lecithin and the protein in the yolk stabilizes it.
Okay.
Okay. And then mustard adds flavor and also stability because mustard contains lecithin. It's an emulsifier as well.
It sounds like in the Wikipedia description that you're not adding any other source of water.
Yeah, I found interesting.
I don't know. Like, can you make mayo with like just eggs and oil?
I think.
I guess so, because you're not adding that much of the acid, right?
No, you're not. I think it's really interesting to remember that mustard is an emulsifier. Like when I make vinaigrette.
That is interesting.
Shut up. When I make vinaigrette, it's basically oil and vinegar.
Good point.
But then I'm putting mustard in there, and all of a sudden I have what looks like a sauce.
You're right. It was interesting. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Matthew. Anyway, I found it, I could not find a clear origin story for mayonnaise, which strikes me as odd.
But it probably started in the 50s, right?
No. It probably sort of arose naturally in all kinds of places.
Like it bubbled up like oil?
In all kinds of places where olive oil existed and where like the simple preparation of oil and egg would happen.
There was a certain dinosaur that... When it died, it turned into mayo.
Yeah. Anyway, like all these places in the Mediterranean where aioli is made, right? Olive oil is abundant.
Garlic is abundant, presumably.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Anyway, also the origin of its name is unclear. I'm pretty sure that we've got some listeners who will feel like they have like an authoritative beat on the name, where it came from.
So like, but there are other things that end with nays.
Yes.
Like béarnaise.
Dijonnaise. mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Well, yeah, that's the vegan mayonnaise.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm
okay, you're right.
Hollandaise.
Oh, yeah, so.
Bouillabaisse.
But like béarnaise and hollandaise, béarnaise and ladies, béarnaise and hollandaise, it's been béarnaise. Sorry. they're all like emulsified sauces, right? So yeah. Does A's mean it's emulsified?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, Matthew, have you made homemade mayonnaise before?
I think once.
The first time I made it was after reading a little essay by Lori Colwin in Home Cooking. And I think
that essay was called Molly Make Mayonnaise.
I think it's called Chicken Salad, actually. It makes sense. Very short. And she talks about that you need to make homemade mayo for chicken salad, which I vehemently disagree with. I also think I remember around the same time reading something that Amanda Hesser, today of Food 52.
Sure.
Amanda Hesser wrote, I think this was Amanda Hesser, wrote something about how like the texture of the finished mayonnaise should be like the texture of paint from a tube.
Huh.
I think Amanda Hesser wrote that. That
seems plausible.
I remember at the time thinking, well, that seems esoteric.
Like, yeah, it's very artsy.
I can't picture that. And yet now I always remember it. And I think I think it works.
When was the last time you used paint from a tube? I don't remember the last time, but I find it to be such an appealing product.
The last time I did it was when I was 17. Like, to go to an art supply store
and see, like, all of the different colors of paint you can get in beautiful, like, unsqueezed tubes.
I love it. There was a summer. So, my cousin has always been an incredible artist. Shout out to Katie Karadek of Oakland, California.
Goes through a lot of paint tubes.
She took a lot of like, so taking art classes was like her thing growing up. And anyway, the two of us together one summer applied for this pre-college program at what was then California College of Arts and Crafts, mm-hmm. now California College of the Arts. And we were both like 16. We got to live on the college campus and take classes with like these, you know, art professors there.
Why did they drop the crafts? I feel like some people were probably really upset about this at the time.
But I think the whole idea of arts and crafts has become sort of outdated.
Like, yeah, I suppose.
Now it seems to like refer to making like log cabins out of popsicle sticks.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Or to like the... wasn't it like a artistic movement of like the...
Yes,
or
it was.
An architectural movement? I don't know.
Was it both?
Maybe it was both.
We don't know.
It was an architectural movement involving building cabins out of really big tongue depressors.
Sticks, yeah,
popsicle sticks.
Anyway, but Katie and I had to get all of this like real art supply stuff and got to like dabble at being actual like art students. And
I love it.
It was so exciting. I remember I had like a fishing tackle box that I got mm-hmm. to go to the art supply store and like get various paints and certain types of pencils and stuff that I needed for class. And that's the only time I bought paint in the
tube. Can you tell what I'm about to ask you based on what I'm doing with my hand?
No.
Did you have one of those palettes with a hole in it?
No.
Okay.
No. I did have this like we all had to have a big like portfolio to carry our stuff around in, like this like plastic that was made to look like leather, this sort of like pliable plastic. It was black and it zipped all the way around and had
a handle. Yeah, I can visualize this.
Oh my gosh. That was my like brief foray into what would it be like to go to art school. Clearly I didn't go to art school.
I don't want to go to art school. I think I just want to collect paint tubes. That wouldn't be weird, would it?
You know, that was also the summer that Katie and I discovered Frappuccinos.
Oh, I remember when I discovered Frappuccinos. it was around the time they introduced Frappuccinos.
Yeah, Me too. There was a Safeway right around the corner from our dorm, or like a block or two away, and there was a Starbucks, which was then a really new and exciting thing. And we would go to Starbucks and get Frappuccinos, and we were also really into frosting, like out of a like a store bought frosting, like out of a like a canister.
Or a tube.
And I remember eating store-bought frosting straight out of a canister that summer. Oh, man, what a summer that was.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a great summer. I also read The Mysteries of Pittsburgh for the first time.
One of your favorites.
Oh, God.
Michael Chabon.
Great summer. Oh, my gosh. I listened to so much Violent Femmes that summer.
Yeah. Oh, when... Ugh. There was, like, one particular year, like, one particular, like, school camping trip or something where I was introduced to Violent Femmes because, like... All of a sudden, everyone was playing it all mm-hmm. the time, particularly Blister in the Sun. Mm-hmm. Like, but I don't think it was like at the time that album came out. I think it was a little later than that.
That was how it was for me.
Okay.
I was actually introduced to it that summer by our painting professor.
Nice. Did that come out in like 83?
Something like that. Okay. I mean, it came out when you and I were quite young.
Yeah.
And of course, I was introduced to it in, what would that have been, 95, 96?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But there was something about the sound of it. You know, it was so like petulant. There's something about it that makes that
petulant is the word
that makes you feel like just like scrappy and like you're just like gonna get through this life by like the skin of your teeth or something, right?
Yeah, I saw them play once at my college around that same time, like 90-95.
Oh, that must have been a great show.
It was fantastic. Yeah, like there was one guy was whining and the other one was playing the xylophone. It was awesome.
What else could you want?
Right.
It was around that time that I saw, actually, no, it was like 5 years later that I saw the Mars Volta and Les Savi Fav. And the lead singer of Les Savi Fav, Tim Harrington, was so crazy on stage. He was like putting entire oranges in his mouth so he like couldn't talk. And he was like climbing the rafters.
Wow. That sounds great. I like the Mars Volta. I've never seen them play.
I really loved Deloused in the Comatorium.
It's good. Yeah.
Oh gosh,
like
it's
it.
So good.
Okay.
Like a parody of itself.
It sure does. when are we gonna make mayonnaise?
Oh, do we have to?
Over the course of this episode.
Let's
we
do
don't
it
have
now.
To.
No, okay. No, let's right. do it now.
Great.
Okay, great. I'm ready.
This episode is brought to you by Anilon. And this morning, I reached for my Anilon Nouvelle Copper Lux Collection skillet to make some scrambled eggs. And not only were they the best scrambled eggs I've made in quite a while, but it is such a fun pan to use. I know it seems crazy to say that a frying pan can be fun, but it's got a super comfortable handle. It heats evenly. It's got dishwasher-safe nonstick. It's really well-balanced. It has a layer of copper in the base for extremely even heating. It's a great overall kitchen experience. It's heavy, but not too heavy. You know what I mean? And that's not all that Anilon makes. They've got a complete gourmet cookware line. We're talking pasta makers. We're talking baking tools. We're talking cookware sets. We're talking culinary torches. The nonstick surface is metal utensil safe. You know, there's nothing about this pan that doesn't work great. It is a complete package. So check out the complete Anilon culinary collection at Macy's. Anilon, designed for creativity in the kitchen. Culinary torches. Whoosh! That's the sound of a torch.
This episode is brought to you by Madison Reed, gorgeous salon quality hair color delivered to your door for less than $25. You don't have to go to the drugstore and choose between those boxes of outdated colors. You don't have to go to the salon and hand over an entire paycheck and a whole afternoon. You can go online to madison-reed.com, where you'll find hair colors crafted in Italy by master colorists. Best of all, you can easily do these at home, and they don't have ammonia or other ingredients that you might not feel so great about. To find your perfect shade, again, go to madison-reed.com, get an expert color consultation there, or take the color quiz. Then, when you place your order, Spilled Milk listeners get 10% off plus free shipping with the code SPILLEDMILK. That's code SPILLEDMILK at madison-reed.com. Matthew, we're going to do this with a whisk, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I've never actually made mayonnaise in a blender or food processor. I learned to do it with a whisk, and I have never thought that it was like as exhausting or time consuming as I was told. And therefore, I keep doing it.
What kind of bowl do you want?
Like a medium sized mixing bowl, like bigger than you would think. So whisk. And what kind of oil are we using here, Matthew?
Your basic vegetable oil.
Okay, great. And, I mean, as a basic rule of thumb, I always think 1 egg yolk to 3/4 cup of neutral oil. So that would be vegetable oil. You could use, like, a neutral peanut oil, grape seed. I think some people are into grape seed.
You know who I've never seen play is Neutral Milk Hotel, even though, like,
neither.
They did a bunch of comeback tours.
But I don't really know how much flavoring to add or when to do those things.
Should we look up a recipe?
Let's look up a recipe. Okay. You know, I think this Molly Weisenberg girl who does this super, super annoying podcast called Spilled Milk, I think that she published a recipe on Bon Appetit a long time ago when she was doing a column there. I hear she has this blog called Organette. People are forever misspelling Orangette as Organette. And now I just love it.
It's an organette's just a small organ.
It is.
Oh, wait, we have no internet.
Oh, I have internet on my
on your
phone.
Okay, organette it up.
Okay. All right, here we go. Yeah, this is a mayonnaise recipe that is on Bon Appetit, February 2008.
We'll link to it in the show notes, spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Cool. Okay, here we go. So, one large egg yolk, 1.5 teaspoons of fresh lemon juice, 1 teaspoon white wine vinegar, 1/4 teaspoon Dijon mustard, 1/2 teaspoon salt, plus more to taste, and 3/4 cup canola oil. So we're basically going to put together all of that except the oil first. Here we go, Matthew.
Okay, read this off to me again.
One large egg yolk.
I wish you could hear the sound of me separating this egg.
You know that feeling when the kind of like thick part of the white mm-hmm. gets stuck between your fingers? Yep. I can never decide whether...
I don't know what to do now. I can't take off my headphones because my hands are covered with egg.
Okay, go wash your hands. Okay, so now we're going
to
do...
You said that to me exactly as if I was 6 years old.
Now, go wash your hands, Matthew. Can you tell that I have a 6-year-old? Okay, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Since we're using kosher salt here, we're probably going to need a little bit more later, but we'll figure that out later. Okay, 1/4 teaspoon Dijon mustard. Matthew, I was fascinated to learn that you and your family don't really keep Dijon mustard around.
No, I am not a mustard user because I'm condiment phobic. Mm-hmm. And wife of the show, Lori, does enjoy a mustard, particularly on a hot dog, but then she just wants like the French's yellow mustard.
Matthew, there's no 1 teaspoon here.
I probably used it. Can you, I can.
Let's wing it.
Yeah.
But I do need 1.5 teaspoons of fresh lemon juice. How are we going to get that?
We're going to squeeze this lemon.
Don't you have a...
Yeah, I have a reamer.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't have to...
We can ream.
Do you want to get your hands dirty again?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm having a really hard time opening this vinegar. This show is off to a great start.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we've been doing this episode for 28 minutes. So it is off to a great start.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, we spent a lot of time... talking about Back to the Future, and I don't even remember what else.
What did we talk about? I've already forgotten.
Do you want me to go ahead and put the lemon juice in?
Yeah, 1.5 teaspoons.
Okay.
Wait, hang on. I've got the 1.5 teaspoon measure.
Well, I cut the lemon in a weird way, and now it's like slipping off the ream. It'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
Okay, 1.5 teaspoons. Beautiful. Look at that. Okay, and now do 1 teaspoon.
I just juiced 1.5 teaspoons just
exactly
by feel.
Could you do 1 teaspoon?
Yep.
Okay. And so I'm going to whisk this up until it is blended and bright yellow.
Okay.
About 30 seconds.
I will take a picture.
Okay, I'm ready to begin adding the oil.
Okay.
Now, Matthew, we need 3/4 cup of oil.
Okay, do you want me to measure it out?
Sure. So the 1/4 cup of the oil is sort of the most crucial. If you add the 1/4 cup too fast, you can't really get your emulsion going. However, I feel like because I read so many... like recipe head notes about making mayonnaise that put like the fear of failure into my head. If anything, I feel like I sometimes over whisk my mayonnaise and make it too tight. So I'm not really worried about this emulsion forming or not forming. The other thing is that if your mayo breaks at any point, you can fix it by adding a tiny bit of water, like a very small amount, like start with like 1/2 teaspoon. Or if it's a real disaster, you can also get a fresh bowl, put an egg yolk in it, and then add your broken mayonnaise to the beaten egg yolk.
If it's a real disaster, you can just use Hellmann's.
Oh, yeah, that too. Oh. So.
It's happening. It's happening right now in front of my face.
So I'm doing like a drop or two of oil at a time. And here's the thing that you have to remember is that, like, once you start making it, it's not like you can't stop. Like, you can stop and take a break.
You can just, like, stop and walk away.
You can stop and take a break anytime you want.
Can you quit?
Sure, but then you're left with, like, a unfinished mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's not like when you're like making candy or something.
Oh, I see.
And you can't like step away from it or right. it'll get too hot or it'll whatever.
Or like you're like a custard.
Correct.
It's not a custard.
No, you can stop at any time.
Is a custard an emulsion?
I believe so, isn't it?
Seems like it.
Seems like a lot of emulsions involve eggs.
Well, I mean, because that's your most potent source of emulsifier that's likely to be in your house unless you live in a lecithin factory.
So you can see pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It starts to take on body.
It does. Now, you said a minute ago when I was not near the microphone that if you overmix it, it can get tight. What does that mean? Like too stiff?
Yeah, too stiff. Like weird.
Like and wouldn't squeeze out of the paint tube.
Well, no, not like that, but just it almost starts looking greasy.
So this looks a lot like lemon curd, and I want lemon curd now. This is pretty cool, though.
Wait, did you say you've made this before or not?
I've made it in the food processor once.
Am I overstating it in saying this is so easy?
This looks so easy.
This is like not, I don't understand why people make this seem like such a big deal that takes so long.
How often do you do this?
Not very often. I think I first made mayonnaise about 10 years ago, and I've probably made it a dozen times since.
Okay. Well, this is lucky number 13.
Because I really like homemade mayo. I really like Hellman's mayo or Best Foods. So I'm kind of like, why bother?
So one time when I was a kid, like a fairly small kid, I think like 7 or something, I was at a party with my parents, like a dumb grown-up party. And there was a chocolate cake and I was like, cool, cake. And so I ate some of the chocolate cake and then my mom leaned over conspiratorially.
and said it was a mayonnaise
cake.
Yes,
and said, you'll never guess what the secret ingredient in this cake is. And I said, what? And she said,
it's a human head. Ah, that Judy Amster, she's a real joker.
The person throwing the party was my mom's friend, Helen. So my mom leaned over and said, Hellman's mayonnaise. But I thought she said Helen's mayonnaise. I'm like, what is even going on here? Like, why does my mom keep trying to torment me with mayo, for one thing?
Okay, Matthew, look, it's done.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was so fast.
I'm going to taste it. Mmm, that's good.
Is it good? Does it need more salt?
It does.
Okay, let's put more salt in it. I think when I developed this recipe, which I should say, it's not like it was some original recipe. I'm sure that mayonnaise is sort of a formula. I don't think.
No, you mentioned it was developed like
credit for a recipe,
the Middle Ages or something.
Anyway, okay, here we go. But when I developed it, I think I used like a fine salt, not a kosher salt. So, okay, will you taste again?
Yeah, now we're talking.
More salt?
Nope.
No. Anyway, so basically, starting from this,
Lemon really comes through strongly, which I like.
You could also do aioli. For aioli, some people replace the neutral oil entirely with olive oil, a mild tasting oil, not like a young green oil. Or a big round tasting oil is fine. It doesn't have to be a mild oil, but it shouldn't be like grassy or spicy. Anyway, I personally think that aioli can quickly get really bitter and difficult.
Because of the olive oil?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when I make aioli, which admittedly is not often, I don't use entirely olive oil. I use a fraction of neutral tasting oil.
Look at you. You emulsified.
I emulsified, and it was so easy. I mean, really, we should listen to the tape and figure out exactly how long that took, because that was quick.
We should.
Why do people make it seem like this is so hard?
Yeah, it seems like maybe 1 minute and 37 seconds.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. And
now, what should I do with this? I have some leftover rotisserie chicken from last week's episode. It has not been a week since then. I want to specify
the same day.
should I make it into chicken salad?
I think you should.
Okay.
I mean, would your people eat that?
Half of them would.
One and a half. You have three.
One third of them would. If you're including me as a person.
So which one? Lori would eat the chicken salad.
Right.
Okay. Or you can. You can keep this for up to a week, probably.
Okay.
Or do you want me to take it home? Are you scared of it?
No, I think I want to offer it to wife of the show, Lori, as a chicken salad with homemade mayo. I think she would appreciate that.
Oh, great. Okay. That sounds great.
I think maybe I can get lucky.
I think you might too. Yeah.
Okay, so
What else do you do with mayo?
Okay, here's the number one thing I do with mayo.
Okay.
A couple things, actually. Okay. I make coleslaw, which we talked about on the coleslaw episode. Mm-hmm. I make Nancy Silverton's Chipotle mayo, which we'll link to the recipe. It's spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Is it like a doctored?
It's from her Hellman's book, Twist of the Wrist, which is all like cooking with canned and canned things, canned and jarred things. Mm-hmm. And so you take a Hellman's or a Best Foods and you add just like some chopped chipotle chilies, garlic, lemon juice, maybe cilantro, I think. Mm-hmm. And I use it for spicy fried catfish sandwiches. It's great.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Just like a leaf of lettuce and a fried catfish fillet.
Cool. That sounds really good. I have made a sort of doctored basil aioli using Hellman's and then making sort of like a pesto without the cheese.
I'm Dr. Basil Aioli.
Yeah. Anyway, also, of course, egg salad.
Oh
yes. On sandwiches, BLTs, remoulade. Mayonnaise is the base for remoulade, which is a mayonnaise-based sauce, kind of like a tartar sauce, but mayonnaise-based with like cornichon or gherkins.
Is tartar sauce mayonnaise? I don't know what tartar sauce contains.
What tartar sauce is.
Really.
It's a mystery
to me.
It's
like chopped pickles?
Yes, and... but so does remoulade.
Okay.
Remoulade also has capers, maybe? Does it have chopped egg?
You know who we need is like some people who host a food show.
We do. dipping sauce for fries.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with this, like particularly at like a Belgian frites stand. Mm-hmm. It's not the thing I choose.
Deviled eggs.
Sure.
You need mayonnaise to make deviled eggs. Also,
this is it's like you're taking my hand and like walking me through like my own personal cavalcade of horrors.
Okay, this is really going to skeeve you out. The French dish au mayonnaise.
I'm familiar with it.
Anyway, I've never had this French dish, but I don't know why I haven't, because it seems so perfect. Like, basically, you take hard-boiled eggs, you cut them in half, and you, like, spread them with mayonnaise. That's the simplest version. That sounds heavenly.
I disagree. But,
I know,
like,
you
again,
do.
Like, I'm not saying, like I think, you know, that I am the arbiter of taste. And like I think there's something wrong with me, not something wrong with these foods.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like how much progress have I made on the egg salad front since the scary food episode, like 7 years ago? None.
And then, of course, mayonnaise in cakes and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a story that's not really about mayonnaise, but is about the Smashing Pumpkins song Mayonnaise, which is a very good song from their 1993 album Siamese Dream.
Okay.
So as I mentioned, I went to see my friend's band 88 Miles Per Hour. Mm-hmm. And her boyfriend was fronting a different band. I don't remember the name of his band, but they played a cover of the Smashing Pumpkins song Cherub Rock from the same album. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, I went up to him excitedly. This guy's like, I don't know, 20 years old. And I was like, hey, at my very first ever show that I played, we covered a song from that album, Mayonnaise. This was in 1994. And then I realized, like, I'm the oldest person you've ever met.
Oh, you're so cool.
It's me, Dad.
You're so cool. Wow. Oh, I love that. That's great, Matthew.
There's somewhere floating around, there is a cassette tape with a recording of that show that we played, I think in fall of 94 in the student lounge. It might have been spring of 94. I can't remember.
That sounds really cool, dude.
We did a pretty good job with it.
Okay.
It's not an easy song.
I've never heard it. Maybe I'll listen to it on the drive home.
You have heard it.
I have? Okay. I just didn't know it was called Mayonnaise.
It was not like one of the singles from the album.
Okay. What about Kewpie mayo?
Okay. This is something I like.
Okay. So, Matthew, is it just because it's Japanese?
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's like, it has a more even texture and it has MSG in it.
And what gives it the sweetness? Does it have like apple cider vinegar or something? Sugar?
I think sugar is probably the answer.
Okay.
Sometimes we have some in the fridge. I don't know if we do currently.
I don't really want to eat it. I eat it on things all the time, I'm sure. But I don't really want to taste it plain.
I don't want to taste any mayonnaise plain, but I do like Kewpie mayo on okonomiyaki, Japanese pancakes. I like it in Japanese egg salad, which I like for some reason.
Oh, my God, Matthew, you make me tired.
Yeah, I'm the worst.
Yeah. Okay. So what's different about Japanese eggs?
Can I tell you a little more about how cool I was in the 90s?
What's so okay about Japanese egg salad that's so wrong with American egg salad?
Probably nothing. It's probably pretty much the same.
Is it pretty much the same?
It's pretty much the same. I mean, like...
Just with Kewpie mayo?
Yeah, with Kewpie mayo. The Japanese one usually has sliced cucumber and like just raw cucumber, not pickled, and sometimes like bits of ham. But I don't know.
You are the worst. Okay. All right. Well. This episode was brought to you by Anolon Cookware. Whether you're making a recipe that you've made a million times or maybe trying something bold and new, Anolon will help you make it delicious. Their entire selection of gourmet kitchenware comes with a lifetime warranty, and you can find all of it, cookware sets, baking tools, even pasta makers, at Macy's. Anolon, designed for creativity in the kitchen.
Are we done now?
I think we're done.
Okay, cool. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll link to that Chipotle mayo recipe, Molly's mayonnaise column from Bon Appetit. What else?
I don't know.
The Smashing Pumpkins song.
Yeah.
Maybe a picture of me from when I had hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Cool. And I don't know what else. I don't know. I just got tired all of a sudden.
Oh, our producer is Abby Circatella. We're on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. Please leave us a review wherever you find the show.
Yeah.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. The emulsifier that holds us together is you, the listener.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg. And then I like your hand symbol. Dig, 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 dig.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.